Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
Well, I guess I was wrong. I just don't belong. But then, I've been there before. Everything's all right. I'll just say goodnight and I'll show myself to the door. Hey, I didn't mean cause a big scene. Just give me an hour and then I'll be as high as that ivory tower that you're living now. Cause I got friends in all places where the whiskey drowns and the beer takes my blues away.
Because all of my friends have hip replacements.
Think I'll step on down to the Oasis. So I've got a friend in low places.
That's a song if you were in a bar, social distancing.
Oh, yeah.
And imbibed a couple and started singing. The rest of the bar would join you.
I know. Then you'd start hugging people. Depends on what time of night it is.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't cut it.
Well, I've had days like that.
It's just a great song. I'll be as high as those ivory towers that you've been living in. Says it all, don't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what made Garth Brooks so popular.
Yeah.
He sung every man songs.
Yeah. You know, Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up. You know, great song. So.
Yes, he does. He does twist a phrase nicely.
Yep. So, anyway, just figured I'd work that in this morning because we've had some low friends in high places calling us this morning.
It's what we do. It's kind of how the show goes.
Yeah, pretty much. But people don't want to be on it, so all good.
You know what? I just love it.
I know. 8:16 is the time. Sun's coming out a little bit. I guess we got some rain floating around, maybe. I don't know. I'm not gonna worry about it because we need the rain. Speaking of friends in low places,
yeah,
you know, this is my guy. What? Mike Dennehy from Boulay and Dennehy.
From Boulay and Dennehy.
Okay, Boulay, Dennehy, and St. James. Yeah. I'll keep working that in someday.
Throwing that in there.
Someday you'll.
Well, what's that old story? You keep saying it enough times, it'll come true, right?
Right. We'll believe it. Yeah,
well,
right.
And you know, that's the way, and I don't mean to cast aspersions, and I'm not trying to, but that's the way I feel the Democratic Party in New Hampshire is doing. Because, man, they're coming out with, like, a press release a day against Sununu. And I figure if we throw enough stuff against the wall, something's going to stick. How do you run against a guy who's got great popularity with Republicans and Democrats? And we're going to talk to Andrew Valinsky this morning, and we talked to Dan Feltes. How do you run in a pandemic against an incumbent?
It's hard. It's hard for so many different reasons, as you can imagine, Peter. It's not just the fact that logistically it's impossible, but just from a messaging standpoint, everything's been turned upside down. So the candidates, the two Democrats in particular who are running against Chris Sununu, they can't even get any airtime.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get airtime, but then they don't really even have a message because what are they going to run on? What they're running on is that they should be able to control more of the process to distribute money than they're getting right now. I mean, that's just a, you know, who cares about that?
I know. And yet, the reality is, if the governor was doing a horrible job, that's one thing.
Yes.
But he's not.
Nope.
You know, and so it's kind of tough to come out after something and criticize it when it's sort of working for us.
Right? You know, we had, right. I'm sorry, we had Chris on, I don't know, like a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. I asked him, you know, the question, and he said, look, he said, I don't pay attention to polls and popularity polls, even though I'm supported by 93% of Republicans and 78% of Democrats.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to them. And they're like, yeah, thanks, Chris. That's good.
But it's a tough stance because you want to sort of criticize and say that things aren't going so well. But as of right now, we are reopening slowly and we're trying to do it safely.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, he's probably getting the most amount of criticism right now from Republicans and business owners who lean Republican. I mean, you've seen the stories, I expect,
right.
some of the people like Amy LaBelle, LaBelle's Winery, mm-hmm. who's a very, very wonderful, successful operation around the state, and she was openly critical of the governor, saying we got to get we can't afford this. Restaurants can't afford to be closed.
I know.
And now he's doing everything he believes is right, but those folks, the Democrats, they don't care how long we stay closed.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why it's interesting because the Democrats aren't going to go after Sununu on the fact that we're not opening fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Republicans will, but they're not going to. It's not like Republicans are going to abandon Chris Sununu. They just disagree on maybe the time of the reopening and the time of the length it's taken.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very popular. I think he's going to stay popular right to the end, making it difficult for these candidates. And you know, but in the end, as we all know, it's going to come down to the top of the ticket.
Right.
They're going to tie Donald J. Trump around his neck and hope mm-hmm. to bring him down to earth,
yep.
hope to bring Sununu down to earth, to give Feltus or Walensky a shot in November.
Well, again, I see again, not picking on the Democrats, I'm just pointing this out. The Democratic Party was slamming, what's his name, Corky Messner and Don Boldick. Saying, well, they're lockstep with Donald Trump and blah, 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 and Boldick vows to cut trillions from Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yep, yeah, right.
You know, and so, yes, so you're right. So we get to November. What's that mean to the undercard, the down ticket stuff?
Yes. Well, if I were a betting man, which I'm not,
mm-hmm.
But I would bet that things are going to stay pretty much the same, and unless again something crazy happens over the next several months.
We're surrounded by pandemic crazy and
right.
riots.
By crazy right now, Michael.
that's a good point. If riots continue and don't stop,
right?
Okay,
that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think incumbents are basically pretty well protected right now because they're almost given a pass
mm-hmm.
because of the pandemic.
Right, because we just need to get through this and then we can sit and
figure it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. But if these riots continue, if there's no end in sight, and if there's too much, you know, if this right now, it appears these elected officials, public officials across the country, are giving a little bit too much leeway to the protests, calling them protests and not riots,
right.
and just being a little bit too cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last, I guess, 24, 48 hours in particular, they've started to put the hammer down. And so hopefully that works, and the riots disappear. And then we can get back to trying to reopen our country.
Well, I find it, we've talked about this, I find it interesting. Wall Street, still going up.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Wall Street takes the long look. They look at the big picture.
Yep.
So yeah. So we're mired because we're in a 24-hour news cycle. We're mired in now. Wall Street's looking at then. The market's going up. And I'm like, huh. And, of course, now it's being portrayed. Sure, greed was on hold, but now it's back. I'm like, oh, God. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. I know it. Don't you wish you had just sold your home and bought into the market when it crashed a few months ago?
Yeah, well, with my luck, you know, I would have done that. I remember.
And then it had gone down again.
God, I remember somebody. And this is, I don't know, 20 years ago. When they first came out with like Powerball or Mega Millions or something, somebody went out. And I think it was Florida, and took like a $10,000 or $20,000 loan on their house and bought like $20,000 worth of Powerball tickets because they figured they had the math down that you know one of those was going to be a winner. And apparently they won like $800 and they still had to pay back the $20,000. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. So if you and you're not a betting man, but if you were for entertainment purposes only, who does Biden pick for VP?
Oh boy, he's in such a predicament the way he's set himself up to pick a woman and really to pick an African American. He's almost boxed in, and so I really don't know because there's no one out there that will be a tremendous benefit to the ticket for him. Who's got all the experience and really can step into the presidency on day one? That's the problem he has right now. I guess you could. I was going to say maybe Kamala Harris, but you can't say Kamala Harris.
No.
She bombed in the primary process,
right?
And she's sitting on a bunch of negatives that. That will be launched against her in the campaign. He's going to steamroll through California, so it's not like you.
Right,
you need a California person, right?
See, I'm going with Demings.
You know what, Peter? I'm totally with you. That's the only one, but it's not like she has the experience. But she does have Florida, and she's very well spoken.
Well, she's a former police chief, so we got the law enforcement
because
the Democrats are always dissed about not being tough on law enforcement.
Yes.
And she's a congresswoman, so it's like, hello. So if you have done that, as opposed to if your pool is Harris, Abrams, or Demings, I'm all over Demings.
Right.
Yeah, yep. If I were picking, she would definitely be the one of the three.
So what happens if Trump turns around and dumps Pence? And picks up Nikki Haley.
Yeah, he won't. He won't.
Okay.
I like Mike Pence, so I never want to see anyone get abandoned, but that would certainly work in Trump's favor.
Yeah.
But I just don't think he'll do it. He's just too, I think the one thing in Trump world is loyalty. Seems to be pretty important, even if it's a one-way street.
Sometimes,
he and Pence definitely get along well.
So if you're Dan Feltes and you're Andrew Walensky, how do you run a campaign? How do you get? What issue? I mean, I know you've got your. You know, I'm for the working people. I've got the People's Bill of Rights. You know,
but generic stuff's not.
It's not going to cut it. So how do you get traction?
Yeah, I'm talking. I'm helping a couple candidates right now, and it's going to be fascinating because you can't campaign the way you traditionally would, which is you go out, you shake hands, especially in a presidential election, by the way, where you have about 80% participation in the state of New Hampshire. So you go out and shake as many hands as possible because more than likely they're going to go to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it this year.
I know.
And you can't, even down ballot, you can't go door to door and meet people. So it's going to, I believe, it's going to push most voter contact to social media, and social media mostly being Facebook, which is, that's been a, it's been a growing trend over the years in campaigns, and campaigns have tried really hard to really flush out the process through Facebook to make it most efficient and effective, but they haven't gotten there yet. So this is going to be a big year to try and figure out how to target folks through Facebook, mm-hmm. voters in particular. But it's going to be like when direct mail took off a few years ago.
Yeah.
Your mailboxes are going to be flooded.
Right.
Your Facebook feed's going to be flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're back to, it's almost like, again, it's just like mail, direct voter contact mail.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be creative, and it has to catch people's eye, because you're looking through your Facebook feed, and you're going to be flooded with advertisements, and you're going to scroll through all the ones saying, oh, cut taxes, oh, give me free health care. You know, who cares? It's going to have to be something bold and,
right.
and eye-catching mm-hmm. to move voters.
To even stick out. Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
Two questions. We'll let you go.
Yes, sir.
Do the Republicans take back the Senate or the House in New Hampshire, do you think?
I think they have a fantastic shot at taking back the Senate, at least making it 12-12, which is, you know, every year we talk about, oh, this is the year it's going to be 12-12. By the way, it hasn't been 12-12 in like a century.
So yeah, true.
Republicans need two seats to make it 12-12. I think there's a very good shot at that happening, because I do believe Chris Sununu is going to be very strong on the ballot. I believe Trump's going to win New Hampshire, albeit maybe a small amount, but bigger than 2016, which was, you know, I think that gives Republicans enough to win the Senate back. And the House, I think, will be a lot closer, but it's a tougher call on that one.
All right. And last question. Rooms and meals tax revenue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Business yep. profits tax. See ya.
Yep.
How do we continue funding, or can we continue funding at the same level? And if not, how do we convince people that, okay, we're cutting Department of Safety, we're cutting DOT, we're cutting Health and Human Services, we're cutting money to these charitable. How do you do that cut without looking like Snidely Whiplash?
Well, because what it's going to come down to is cutting government or raising your taxes at a point when the economy has been demolished. And so will people, unemployed, really want their taxes going up, either when they go buy goods at a store through a sales tax, or any income tax? That's the option. Or small businesses who are crushed right now. Do you really want an increase in the small business taxes? It's going to be a bad time, because the choices are going to be awful. And that's why it's I'm on the opposite side of the slow open here, because I, as a small business owner, I've seen my bottom line affected, and I know tons of others, especially restaurant owners, and I'm surrounded by restaurant owners right here on Main Street. We've got to get moving, or it's getting worse by the day.
Yeah.
Higher taxes or tremendous cuts in government. That's what it comes down to.
And the candidate who manages to make either of those scenarios palatable will be the winner.
And I believe Chris Sununu always does a good job at that, so I know he will.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a break, and Andrew Belinsky is going to be on. I'm sure Andrew has a different take on it.
I expect slightly.
But hey, but that's okay. That's why, you know, we've got a right winger like you on, and then we've got Andrew. So, you know, it all balances.
Right.
Hey, very quickly, how's mom?
Ah, she's great.
Excellent.
She's so
excellent.
Happy to be home. Oh my gosh, she was stuck in Florida for an extra 2 months, which isn't a bad place to be. But at 81 years old, she missed family.
So. God bless her.
Thank you for asking.
Hey, stay well, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure. See you, Peter, Pat.
Thanks,
thank you, Mike.
Mike Dennehy from the firm Dennehy & Boulay, or Boulay, Dennehy, and eventually St. James.
and small liberty.
Well, I'm just waiting for them to, you know, come up with the right amount of money. That's all. 833. Yes, the aforementioned Andrew Walensky. We've got Andrew coming back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll chat with him right after this.
Done.